was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I also may go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. The new us, if our resolutions shape us into whom we would like to be. A new beginning, a clean canvas spread out before us. Ken's grandmother sent me a card once that I have kept. It says, "And now we begin a new year full of things that have never been." It's a quote from Rainer Maria Rilke, who is a German poet and rather eccentric. A new year full of things that have never been, full of promise and possibility. And we start in the church with the celebration of Epiphany, which offers us the perspective we need for a new year. The word Epiphany means to show forth, to reveal, to show up. So let's take a moment to uncover what's really going on here and the gifts Epiphany has to offer us. When we enter the scene in the Gospel, the Magi, or wise ones, are looking for the child as foretold by the new star they've been following. They've been watching the signs, paying attention to the heavens, and waiting for this new star which has now emerged, and they follow it to find the child of promise and possibility. They aren't necessarily looking for themselves. After all, they are not of this people. They aren't necessarily the ones to whom the child has been promised. They are from away, as we would say. They're from the east, from other traditions and other lands. But they've seen the star rising, and they follow it. While biblical commentators tend to say that these wise ones are Persian, personally, I can't help but picture them being from India. Their timing what it is. In India, New Year's Day is huge. People go from house to house visiting friends to wish them an auspicious year. They make up small cards to give out with Happy New Year on them and their name and some quote or pretty picture that they want to share. Or they give small gifts for luck and prosperity. I haven't yet figured out how the system works exactly. But somehow, half of the families go visiting. The other half stay home, so there's someone to visit. I don't know how you figure out which is which. I remember it as a very long day full of greeting people and drinking a lot of tea. trips to India, Ken and the girls and I visited the Astrological Observatory Park, John Tarmantar, in Jaipur. And we climbed the huge structures that are there, which are designed to read the stars and the planets. It's an enormous park. This is the kind of paying attention that Magi were doing. This is the kind of reading the stars we're talking about. Stars and planets and movements watching for what might be foretold. Which is why, to me, these wise men will always be Indian. I can hear the lilt in their speech and picture their mannerisms, and yes, we talk with our hands. They could be members of my family, so I admit I am biased when it comes to them. But you have to give them some credit. Our Magi aren't just stargazers. They are star followers. And before they follow, long before, they are people who have been paying attention. They watch the skies. They look for signs and wonders. And when they see the star rising, they follow. They leave everything that's comfortable. They hit the road in search of what that star reveals to them. They go far from home. They follow it. Find the astonishing, the presence of God on earth, the incarnation. They inspire us to our own imagining and wondering, looking for signs of the promises of God and being willing to follow where those signs take us. But that's not all these Magi have to teach us. For just like people in virtually all times and places, they confront evil. They have to deal with Herod on the way to Bethlehem. Herod is frightened by the revelation of the Magi and all Jerusalem with him. Because when a violent, paranoid ruler is afraid, anything can happen. Matthew will go on later to describe the tragic consequences when Herod reacts, killing hundreds of innocents in an attempt to eliminate the threat to his power. The terror and tension of Herod stand in stark contrast to the wonder and worship of the Magi. Herod is filled with anxiety and paranoia, while the Magi travel into the unknown to share their treasures and show their respect to one greater than themselves. Herod is threatened and angry and overcome with fear, while the Magi are full of awe and curiosity. Upon seeing the child, the text tells us the Magi are overwhelmed with joy. These Magi are foolish enough to follow a star, savvy enough to sense the real intention in Herod's words, and humble enough to fall on their knees before mother and her child. They travel in this state of awareness, ready to be overwhelmed with joy when the star stops. They are predisposed to hope, to wonder. They are adept in reading the signs and positioned to see what others would not. In this new year, it makes me wonder what we are predisposed to see, to experience. What if we were open to signs and wonders? Would we see things we've never seen? Story. I can remember being on the T in Boston, and you know how you sit next to each other, it's way too close. So I was sitting right next to this man who was sketching frantically in a composition book, which is unusual. He wasn't on his phone like everybody else. I could smell the scent of Sharpie as his brown marker whipped across the page. When I snuck a glance, because you know it's almost too close to look like subtly, you have to. One of those. It was really clear that the sketch was of a man sort of sitting across from us over there. Plaid hat with furry ear flaps pulled down, glasses, and yes, staring do like a man possessed, frantically getting down the essentials of what made her her. And then just before she got off at the next stop, he crossed out her image as well, and I knew I was missing something. Then he flipped the page over and looked at the back of the image, where it was perfect. Each layer had bled through so that the hash marks became the background, and her face was the foreground, perfectly represented on the flip side of the paper. Gorgeous, elegant, and very much the person who had been sitting across from us. It seems he was creating a background, and I thought he was scratching it out. A different perspective, just turning it over. The reverse side of the image was the finished product. A new year, a new canvas, a new sheet of paper in the composition book, an opportunity to take a fresh look at things. Of course, we're wise enough to know that a great deal won't change this year. There'll continue to be a lot of violent, divisive rhetoric. No, there's nothing new about the ways the powers of this world act. There may always be Herods, paranoid and threatened rulers who act erratically and endanger everyone. But Epiphany reminds us to look for signs of hope. Now, this may seem like too small a thing, but I recently saw a Walmart ad that surprised me. It was a collection of clips of people greeting each other, people hugging, people shopping at Walmart, scenes from small, quaint towns, images of people helping one another, an image of a sign outside that said, "We are resilient, we are strong, we are El Paso, we stand together." The voiceover was about looking for sparks that shine in one another. The commercial ended with that blue screen and yellow lettering that we've come to identify with Walmart, though the standard Walmart tagline was slightly adapted. It said, "Live better together." Given the mass shooting that took place in the El Paso Walmart, it felt like a declaration of unity in the face of the hatred and ongoing rhetoric demonizing immigrants and anyone who seems other. Perhaps that's too small a sign of hope for you, but consider the huge cross-section of the country that commercial reaches. In this new year, when we continue to hear divisive rhetoric about the other, we can take the lead from our magi from the east, paying attention to signs and wonders that are readily before us, paying attention and being willing to respond. See signs of God at work in the world, revelations of beauty and grace in the faces around us, friends, family, strangers, those who are like us, those who are other, who offer us gifts of perspective and wisdom, who help us remember how beloved we are together, and be willing to move into the unknown, or at least out of our comfort zone, to respond with awe and wonder, agents of revelation, pointing to the love of God in our midst. May this year be one of imagining and wonder, of signs of the promises of God, of being willing to follow wherever they take us. May we be predisposed to hope, ready to be overwhelmed by joy, that we might catch a glimpse of Christ in our midst, fall to our knees, receiving the incarnation anew. May we share the gift of Epiphany, God's gift of